God will forgive us also when we seek forgiveness for our sins. Pour out your hearts before God, who is our refuge and our strength.
Now, the thing we've found in Calvary is between the 338 and the 100, between the first, the second, and the last step.
Thank you. Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O Thou of God and man the Son, Thee will I cherish, Thee will I honor, Thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown. Fair are the meadows, fairer still the woodlands, robed in the blooming garb of spring. Jesus is fairer, Jesus is purer, who makes the woeful heart to sing. Fair is the sunshine, fairer still the moonlight, and all the twinkling starry host. Jesus shines brighter, Jesus shines purer than all the angels' head can boast.
Thanks be to God. Do any of you know who Tom Long is. You know a Tom Long? Well, you probably don't. Presbyterian preacher, USA. Presbyterian Church, USA. And a professor in a seminary. A Methodist seminary. So he's probably all mixed up, isn't he? But he shared a story from his childhood, or an experience that happened, I'm sure, more than once. He said that when he was a boy and when he did something wrong, something he should not have done, his mother would look at him and say, "Son, that was uncalled for." And as I read his experience, I had had similar experiences. That was totally uncalled for, or something of that nature. And Tom Long wonders if being the person we need to be, being the person that God would have us to be, does that need to be called for? Does somebody need to call us? And look at parenting, that may be true. We have to call our children. And we were called by our parents to be what they understood that we ought to be. Long contends that one of the deepest human hungers, psychology, you learn about the needs or the hungers that we have, and he contends that one of the deepest human hungers that we have is to be called for. We need, he is saying, to be called to something. To something good and right. One of the deepest human fears, he says, is that there is no one out there who cares enough about us to call us. You know, one Bible writer lamented, "No one cares for my soul." I think he said, "No man cares for my soul." But God always cares. And somebody probably cared for this lamenter's soul. But at that time, he did not know it. Or he had forgotten it. Or things were so bad that he thought no one cared for his soul. You ever felt that nobody cared enough to call you? Maybe call you back to the straight and narrow way when you had wandered away, or called you to a higher level of living. Those of us who are Christians, we of the Christian faith, we know that there is some being in the universe calling us. We have heard it. We have experienced it if we have come to Christ, because we cannot come unless He calls. He takes the initiative. God takes the initiative through Christ to call us into fellowship with Him. Yes, that being is God. And He sent His Son to call us from darkness to light, from sin to salvation. God does not stand aloof from us, and God is not indifferent to us, but God comes communicating with us, summoning us, if you will, to that which we are called for. "I have something for you to do." He summons us to come and do it, to fulfill that for which we were created. I've experienced that while some people desire to be called by God, and I saw a television news report this week about some, I guess it was a newscaster, visiting a class of fourth graders. You know how eager they are to be called. They raise their hand and let me talk, they say. They want to be called upon, and if they call on somebody else, this person sitting by the one that's called on or across the room will say, oh, they wouldn't call on me. So many people, even as adults, want to be called, especially if we're waiting for that job interview. Or Sabetta and Yaroslav wanting to receive message. It's like a call that I even heard earlier that their status had been changed, and I guess it has by getting a green card. Called. We want to be called. But there are other people who are afraid that they will be called, especially if it is God calling them. Just let me get through life, God. Just let me get through this world. Don't ask me to do too much. Or some people kind of act that way, so they avoid putting themselves in a predicament that they might be called. I have one friend who keeps telling me what I need to preach, but he don't ever come to church here or anywhere else. And I keep saying, even told him as recent as yesterday, after I had almost prepared this message, I told him even as late as yesterday, if you will be there in the morning, I'll preach on that subject. Change the subject then, see. He's avoiding exposing himself to the call of God. No, but God can call over a cup of coffee. Or God can call as a person drives down the street. Or He can call as a person is on a rooftop. I still remember from my childhood, this man, we called it, and it's a real experience. He was under conviction. God was calling him, but he was resisting. Revival week at our church, and I thought then you could only respond to God's call, and God really only called during revival week at church. But I learned God calls throughout the year. But the emphasis on that call was given during the revival meeting. So for a 13-year-old or a 14-year-old or a 12-year-old, that was the only time that he could call, because I guess we put so much emphasis. Anyhow, the testimony came back that night that he had surrendered to Christ's call, or God's call, upon his life while he was on the roof. And I didn't even hear anything about him sliding off or almost falling. You know, that old story has been around. That the guy was sliding off of the roof, and he said, Lord, help me, help me, help me. And his clinging, and his ring was on his finger, and it caught on a nail head. And he said, oh Lord, that's all right. This nail just caught me. How dumb could a person be? Huh? Need to change? Will it change? Do you have it? Okay. Well, we'll get there. We'll get there. Okay. 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 What about you? No, we don't need to change yet. Kirk is exactly right. Yeah. Some just act like they don't want to be called because of some pride. We're going to sing a song in a minute, or in a few minutes. I have decided to follow Jesus, or I have decided to respond to the call. And one of the verses in it says, though none go with me, still I will follow. And some people, because none will go with them, they act like, or because it's not the popular thing to do, they act like, oh no, I'm not being called, and that was a part of my experience. Act like they don't want to be called, but really want Him to issue a call. I kept waiting for a signed letter from God with a stamp from the Notary Public on it. I mean, I wanted surety for the ministry because it was going to be a life. Well, last Sunday we looked at the call of God to Samuel. Remember that? He was asleep, little boy, young man. Call of God to Samuel. God said, Samuel! He goes to Eli and says, yes? Eli said, I didn't. Quit waking me up, boy. I didn't call you. Call came again and again, and finally Eli understood. Took Eli a while to understand that it was God calling Samuel. Sent him back to wait again, and when the call came the fourth time, I believe, if my counting is right, if my memory, he said, answer, yes, Lord, here's your servant, and he did, and that began a lifetime of being a prophet and a spokesperson and a great influence in the life, one of the strongest influences in the life of the people of Israel. And then we also dwelt with more in detail the call of Nathanael. Nathanael had some difficulty understanding God's call through Jesus Christ. He didn't think anybody good from could come out of Nazareth, and Jesus was from Nazareth. This Sunday, we've read about the call of God to Jonah. Even sitting here, knowing where I was going to preach, though, I began thinking, as Teresa read the scripture, I began thinking more about the response of the people. But the emphasis I want us to have this morning, or the thought I want us to have this morning about Jonah, is God called him to go to Nineveh. Read the whole story. He said, no, I won't go. He even ran off to a foreign city and got swallowed up by a great fish. And then the fish, he was so sickening to the fish that the fish vomited him up on the shore. Did I paraphrase that one a little too much? Vomited him up on the shore, and after he had come to his senses somewhat, and he went to Nineveh and preached. Then got mad because the people were converted and the city was saved, because he didn't like Ninevites. They were their enemies, and of Jonah's people, territorial, whatever. Anyhow, that's part of the story. And then the call of Jesus to four disciples. And basically, we've had an Old Testament lesson and a New Testament lesson. And the call of Jesus to the four disciples, it could be, we could dwell on Jonah, but we'll dwell on the four disciples too. The call of God to an individual, and I think this was a message from God to me. I didn't find this anywhere. The call of God to an individual is not complete until the one being called answers. How many remember the movie Cool Hand Luke? Still one of my favorite movies. Remember when it was? 1967. One of my favorite actors. Well, my favorite actor was not in that movie, Strother Martin, the captain. My favorite actor in that time of my life was who? Paul Newman. And we even have a picture where my dad looks just like Paul Newman. Or we thought he did. Now what that means, I don't know, but it gave me a little hope, but I took after my mother's family. So anyhow, the call of God is not complete until the one being called answers. In the movie Cool Hand Luke, a 1967 movie with Strother Martin as a road work gang captain Paul Newman is a prisoner, a rebellious prisoner. Do you know why he was in prison? You know why Paul Newman was in prison? I don't remember this in the movie. I had to go research this. He had gone through town cutting the tops of parking meters off. Cutting the tops of parking meters off. They put him in prison on a work gang, and he was there. And he has not been conquered yet, I guess you could say. He had not been subdued yet. He was still arrogant and a talk-back person, and he got into some kind of disagreement with Strother Martin, the captain, and the captain knocked Luke down the bank to a lower level. Maybe it was a ditch. And the captain exclaims, and this, how far has this phrase gone? What we have here, and I cannot talk like Martin talks, what we have here is failure to communicate. And then he goes on to say, some men you just can't reach. And sometimes it seems that way when God starts calling people to salvation or to service. Some people you just can't reach, or so it seems. There's a failure to communicate. What we have here is a failure to communicate. And unless there is a response to the call, it seems to me, and I think I'm right, that there is this failure to communicate. The telephone call. I tried to call somebody this week, and I tried about 10 times to say, no, I did not get a speeding ticket. I did get stopped. But then they drove off. But I was trying to say, hey, I didn't really get a ticket. Now, not that I didn't deserve one. Earlier in the week, I know I deserved one. Well, no, last week, I know I deserved the one. But I tried to make the phone call. The point is, I tried to make the phone call, and I couldn't get through. So I never communicated with that person. The call went out, number busy. The call went out, the number busy. The call went out, the number busy. My children, they have cell phones. My wife, she has a cell phone. Does she ever answer it? Call and call and call and call. And they never answer it. We never get to communicate. Unless the person receiving the call responds and answers, there's no communication. There's that failure to communicate. And it's that way with God. Unless we respond, there is a breakdown in the communication. We may even answer and say no, but at least we communicate. So let's communicate with God. William Barclay comments on Jesus calling Peter and Andrew and James and John, and I think his statements concerning this, his outline at least, is appropriate to our condition. Who were the men that he called? Who were they? They were simple folk. They were not of the aristocratic society. They were not from a university. They were not from the learned community. Though God could use the people from the learned community, and later he did. Paul was one of the best educated persons of his time, and God used him. But Peter, Andrew, James, and John were not. They were not wealthy. Though Solomon said because James and John's father Zebedee had a hired man, he was probably not really poor enough to hire a man. But they were not wealthy. They were fishermen. They were ordinary folk. They were common people, if you will. Chosen, are called to an uncommon role, a role in the kingdom of God. So let us not think of who or what we are that's important. Let's think of what Jesus Christ can make of us when we say yes to Him. What were these men doing when they were called? It's right there before you in the scripture lesson. They were carrying on their day's work. They were catching fish, we hope. They were mending nets. And it was this way with many prophets. As they were called, they were going about their daily activities. Amos, I mentioned him last week, a dresser of sycamore trees, said something about gathering sycamore fruit. Gideon, working at the press, the granary, the wine press. Moses, herding sheep. Isaiah, he was in the temple. Out of one, two, three, four, three were going about their daily work. One was in the temple. Paul was going against the cause of Christ. He was on his way to arrest Christians. Going about his daily work. That was his chosen work. And Jesus got him. The Spirit knocked him to his feet. Sometimes you have to hit a person hard, right? The two before in the stubborn mule story. Would that fit the Apostle Paul there? Knocked him blind. How did God call them? Follow me, he said. Very simple. Very simple. Follow me. He said, if I be lifted up, Jesus speaking, I will draw all men to me. We follow Jesus not really because of what he said. We follow Jesus because of who he is. And what did Jesus offer those who followed? What does Jesus offer us when we follow? Come and sit around and enjoy grapes all day. Sit around the pool, enjoy grapes. May get a week, a year like that. Or maybe two. He calls us though to a task, to a work. He did not call these men to a life of ease, but he called them to service. It's been said that every person needs something into which or in which he can invest his life. Barclay says Jesus called these four and others to a task, to a job, in which they would have to spend themselves and burn themselves up. And in the end, die for his sake and for the sake of their fellow men. He called them, God, Jesus, God through Jesus, Jesus called them to a task wherein they could only win something for themselves by giving their all for him and for others. And that is what he calls us to do. To give ourselves for his sake. What do you say to God's call to you? Rich young ruler said, no, I don't want to follow. He walked away. And Jesus let him walk away. Jesus had something for that young man to do. We will never know. And he never knew. But he walked away. Two songs. One of them is, We Will Follow Jesus. Or who will follow Jesus? Who will follow Jesus? It's written by E.E. Hewitt. And the music is by William Kirkpatrick. It says, who will follow Jesus? Standing for the right. Holding up his banner in the thickest fight. Listening for his orders. Ready to obey. Who will follow Jesus? Serving him today. But the one that got me to that hymn book, I had to chase these words down. And it so happened on the opposite page was, who will follow Jesus? But I remembered a song, I Will Follow Jesus. I Will Follow Jesus. And it goes, R.E. Hudson wrote it. Down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the flowers are blooming and the sweet waters flow. Everywhere He leads me I would follow on, walking in His footsteps till the crown be won. Then follow, I will follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I will follow on. Follow, I will follow Jesus. Everywhere He leads me, I will follow on. Even where the storms are sweeping and the dark waters flow, with His hand to lead me, I will never fear. Dangers cannot fright me in my Lord so near. Follow, I will follow Jesus. Down in the valley or upon the mountain steep, close beside the Savior, would my soul ever keep. He will lead me safely in the path that He has trod, up to where they gather on the hills of God. And then follow, I will follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I will follow on. The call of God to an individual, and that may be you. The call of God to you is not complete until you answer His call. Are you ready to answer? Are you ready to communicate with God? It may be a call to salvation. And if you are not saved, if you're not trusting in Jesus as your Savior, that His death paid for your sin and you claim it for your life, He's calling you to that. I can assure you of that. It may be a call to be a preacher. It may be a call to be a choir member. It may be a call to be a youth leader. It may be a call to be a teacher. Whether it's salvation, whether it's discipleship, some particular task or some job or some responsibility, how will you respond? Can you truly say, I have decided to follow Jesus? 376 is the number of the psalm. I have decided to follow Jesus. Let's stand together and sing. Maybe your response is a public one this morning. To follow Jesus, have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Turning back, no turning back. World behind me, the cross before me, world behind me, the cross before me. World behind me, the cross before me. Oh, turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. None go with me, I still will follow. None go with me, I still will follow. Turning back, no turning back. You decide now to follow Jesus. You decide now to follow Jesus. You decide now to follow Jesus. No turning back. You know, when the service ends, back in the old days when the revival was over, if we had resisted and resisted to the last night, the last verse of the last song, we'd say, don't go away saying, it's over, God's called to me. Talk to God about it. If you even have an inkling that He is calling you to something, go in the love of God. Blessings on you. When do you go in?
I go in at 6:30 in the morning.
Okay. Just hang around here just a little bit. We'll find a corner here before you go, okay? Are you...